Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living a great life without all the stress. My name is Angela Council and I am your stress and lifestyle mentor. This week I'm joined by someone special and you'll notice she's got a little bit of an accent. So she's not an Aussie, but we'll find out a little bit more about her, Kimberly Sumner. Now she's a women's business mentor and the reason why I wanted to have a bit of a chat to Kimberly is one of her big missions is to get women to really embrace their feminine side and run their business on a feminine energy rather than the normal, which is what we've all been taught, is about the masculine energy, and because that's what burns women out. And Kimberly's going to share her story because she's been there as well, and you know where she's been frustrated, she's been stuck, she's been exhausted, and she just couldn't get anywhere until she realized that there's a different way to do business. So we're going to learn a little bit more about Kimberly and her background because I actually have been reading a bit about her and I actually realized that she has a very similar background to me in that she started, she used to work for the Bankers Trust. I used to work here for the Commonwealth Bank. She was the youngest on an investment team. So she's done all the corporate stuff, similar to what I'd done in the past. So I think we've got a lot of things we've got to chat about today, Kimberly. So welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, Angela, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. And it is so cool vibing into your vibe and this whole thing of women doing business in a really different way, because it's taken me a long time, I'll be honest. It's taken me a long time to get here. It's been such a journey because, like you, very masculinely trained. My key role model was my father. How to do business, taught in a really masculine way, really good with numbers, doing the banking, all of that stuff. But it just, I never was getting the results. And corporate burned me out. And even running my own business as a business mentor in a masculine way ran me out. It took too much from me such that I didn't want it. And I guess I love that there's a Zen saying that goes, the obstacle in the path becomes the path.
There's actually a book called that too. The obstacle is the way.
The obstacle is the way. And it became a process of realizing that what I was looking for is what I was here to create, a women's way of doing business, doing business in a woman's way, in a more feminine way.
Yeah, and so let's talk about that because, you know, people think when you say the word feminine, people think girly or pink and fluffy and things like that, but that's not what we're talking about when we're talking feminine. Can you describe what the masculine energy is about and what the feminine energy is about? And because they're both very strong in their own way.
Absolutely. And first I'll say what feminine energy isn't. I'm not talking about, I mean, I love pink and pink's a great colour, but I'm not talking about putting on your pink girly and playing with your tea sets or and just waiting for things to manifest for you. I've actually tried that approach too.
It doesn't work, does it? No.
It doesn't work. And I also want to put it out there that I love men. So not about saying men are terrible. But what it is saying is that women have a way of doing business that is a more receptive way that needs to honor rhythms. So there is a rhythm, a feminine way, a lunar cycle that we need to tap into, that we are strongly called by our intuition, that many of my clients, what I find, don't perform highly if they're not supported. So if they're not supporting themselves and if they're not connecting in with other women or a support network that supports them. The other part to this is that women, I'm wondering if you can relate, Angela, and your viewers, but often you get home, you get up in the morning early, say 5:30, you've gone to the gym, you've come home, you've put the wash on, you've done school lunches, put your husband, say, bye, hubby, off, you know, have a great day, have you done this, and then expecting You know, you've done 4 hours work already.
That's right.
And do business, just boom, boom, boom. But we need to restore and we need to tune into higher vibrational energy. And we need to bring that into our business and give ourselves permission for support and permission that sometimes a good coffee with a friend is what we need to start our day, or a good conversation, that those are the things that get us into flow far more.
Yeah, and I love what you're saying. Now, I want to talk a little bit more, because you said something that really jumped out at me, because being a naturopath, this comes to me as well. The rhythm and the cycles, the lunar cycles. Now, being a naturopath, obviously one of the things that I work a lot with is women's hormones and getting their cycles back on track, which are all about their lunar cycles and things like that. So, and because one of the things I think over the years is that we as women, and particularly when you're in corporate, this is one of the things that I kind of used to find in corporate, and I don't know if it's changed, it's been a long time since I've been out, is that we don't actually, we weren't allowed to honour the fact that we were actually cyclical, that we did have rhythms, and there were some times of the month when it was time for us to basically pull in, other times of the month when it's time for us to come out, and that depends where we are in our cycles. And I find, I mean, so many women's cycles are out of whack anyway, because that's a lot of what I do, because of the stress and because of this masculine way of living, it's actually throwing our pure femininity out, which is really our ability to connect to our moon and to nature.
And to connect, what you said there, Angela, connection is a big part of feminine energy. So women who are in the corporate space, or women running a business in, you know, from a home office, they're running a business, but most women are also connected into their family and emotionally connected into the well-being of a number of people around them, which calls on their resources and their emotional resources to a really great extent. What that means is that women are probably operating, what I find with my clients, at a much higher level than men for much of the time, which is absolutely fine if women then have periods of regeneration, really like the plant or like the moon. We have to honour, there might be 2 days where you can't make massive commitments. And everyone's different, so I'm not going to talk about there's one cycle, but you need to set yourself up that sometimes it's absolutely okay to take a few hours off. And you need that, and you must honour that, because at the rest of the time you're really operating at a really high level.
That's right. And really that's just listening to your body. And that's listening to that intuition that you spoke about, just like, because there are some days when you just want to go into that little cave and curl up and go to sleep.
Go into the cave and curl up. I mean,
okay.
And you're, exactly. And it takes a long time to, I guess, give women permission, especially if you've been really masculinely trained. I mean, for some women, this is natural. But for many people in business, many women, they've been quite masculinely trained, so we're thinking of a linear arrow, but our energy is so dispersed emotionally with the well-being of our family and friends that we can't operate. I guess it's like when we're being dispersed, we can't then operate on the consistent level that masculine energy can. Mm-hmm. So masculine energy is more about structure and directness, but when we're doing all sorts of things, we just need to, well, I'll give you an example. I find for myself, for tuning into the morning, so we're interviewing now and we've got a time difference, but it takes me a couple of hours after I've looked after the family to actually get myself in zone, you know, with meditation, how I'm supporting myself or talking to a friend. And then that's far more impactful for me to then creating 4 hours of quality work, rather than trying to rush into something as soon as my children have left.
And I totally agree with you, because I do a very similar thing. It's like before 10 is my time. So my kids, I take my kids to school and everything, 7:30, 8 o'clock. I have between 8 and 10 is to do something for me, whether or not that's being the beach, whatever it is, that's my time. Business doesn't start until 10. So I would very rarely have an appointment before 10 o'clock in the morning, unless it was, you know, something out of the usual, or I was speaking and I had to go somewhere. So, yeah, I have a 10 o'clock, you know, deadline.
Yep.
And when I, you know, I was working with a new trainer yesterday and I said, look, we can have any appointments before 10 o'clock. and that's fine. I said, but after 10, no, because that's business time, because that's my priority, is after 10 is business. Before 10, it's my time.
It's fill your cup time. And that's really what you just said, Angela, because one of the things that I found challenging for myself was early morning networking groups, or sort of 8 o'clock networking groups where I hadn't had enough time to fill my cup. Mm. Now, everyone operates differently in terms of the rhythm of their day, but what that's meant for me is that my networking happens in the evening, not in the morning.
Yeah.
And so what I'm suggesting to women is when you tune into your rhythms, then it makes it easier for you to operate at a much higher level with sharing your gifts.
That's right. And you'll make the decisions based on what works for you, because I'm actually the opposite to you, is that nighttime, there comes a time in the afternoon, and generally it's once I get to cooking dinner for me. It's a bit like, you know, when you're in corporate, you used to come home and take the bra off. See, now because I work at home, I may not have it on, but I have like my big fluffy jumper on, or I have something that I put on, which is, this is time to shut down, and I won't go out again. So I may do some work, but I'm in a different energy for work, and it's different type of work that I'll do after that. But it's very rare for me to go, you know, it's an effort for me to go out after 6 o'clock at night, because for me then that's okay. That's family time. Plus there's also, you know, kids running around to 6,000 different activities that I've got to organise. But it's just because nighttime's my time to, once again, be me. My work has happened during the daytime.
I love what you said there around having some sort of physical boundary, because if you're working from home, then work can just continue. Mm. But so you're using a jersey or something comfortable to put on you to change the energy. And I think that's a great tip for your listeners and for my listeners, that that when you're working and running family in the same physical environment, you actually need sort of physical prompters. It might be a smell, might be putting on a different piece of clothing that help you go, this is now relaxation time or family time or me time.
Yes, and that doesn't mean I don't work at night, but I do different type of work at night. So there, it's more creative, more writing, that type of stuff, as opposed to in the daytime, obviously, because everyone else is awake at that time too, and I can, you know, do sales calls and coaching calls. I never do coaching calls in
nighttime.
At nighttime either, so because that's my daytime. My daytime is that's devoted to that, and it's a different type of business I do at nighttime.
That is so cool you're talking about that there, Angela, because that's also tuning into the rhythm or the energy of your day. And what that means, well, there's a big part of that there. You're talking, firstly, you're tuning into that energy. But the second thing for your all our listeners here is that with that, feminine energy requires space to create and visualize.
Mm.
And that's actually one of the things, well, certainly for me, I found that, so we all know the drum roll, and I'm very familiar with this, when you're managing a family and managing a business, I don't have enough time.
Yeah, we've all got the same amount of time.
And I have found myself often in a space of just being a mouse or a hamster on a hamster wheel, where you're getting so frenetic that you're not vibrationally attracting things. And the thing with having enough time is you actually need to call in. Feminine energy asks you to call in a power greater than yourself.
Mm.
So it asks you to call in creative and physical visualizations, and having that time is really important. And I stopped doing that for a while. Especially when I started this business from home, I was spending far too much emphasis on doing it in a really masculine way, looking too much on click-through rates and how I was organizing my day. And I think you need to organize your day. That's really important. But too much time doing that with a masculine focus.
Yes, yeah, and I get exactly what you say. And it's easy to fall back into those habits, isn't it? Because all of a sudden you're doing things and you go, oh, my God, what am I doing? But I find that when I'm getting stressed and I'm getting overwhelmed, it's time for me to say, okay, what are you doing? Who are you doing this for? Who are you trying to be? Who are you connecting to? and just stop and take a big breath. And for me, it's always, I sit down and I either journal or I just go outside and I just go. If I'm lucky, I can see the beach from here. So I can walk down the beach and just touch nature, get my feet wet. And you know, it's like, and that just grounds me again. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
What's it all about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I actually think with us, how many of us are taught or sort of our backgrounds, it's something that we have to work on a regularly, you know, on a daily basis, coming back to getting yourself in a receptive zone. I liken it, you know, someone gave me this great analogy the other day. You know that game 500, the card game?
Yeah.
Right? So you do more work and you think it's going to be better. That's like, you know, a higher card, 7 of clubs versus 9 of clubs, 10 of clubs. But trump card always wins. And in feminine energy, your trump card, doesn't matter how hard you're working, your trump card is that you need to tune in to a higher vibrational source. And I'll be honest, I have to work on it myself every single day. It's not something that comes easily to me, and I guess that's why I'm here to teach it.
Yeah, and that's something, it's like, why, when did we lose that connection to our feminine energy? Because I've got a daughter and I've got a son, and as we're talking about this, feminine energy is in both males and females. So males also have a feminine energy as well. So so this isn't just about females.
Yes.
Because I very much see a lot of feminine energy in my son, and that because he's caring and he's nurturing, and so I see lots of feminine energy in him. And in with my daughter, I probably actually see a lot of masculine energy. She's very much like her father, but she probably actually pulls some of my masculine energy as well. It's like when it's interesting, when as a child do we lose that essence of who we are, and the harmony of the two energies, and we move more towards one? And I mean, as adults, I'm sure we're probably teaching our children that, but just not knowing it, and society teaches them because it's all about achievement. But yeah, it's like, when does it change? Do you know, or is that just the big question?
I can't answer that, but I do know everybody today with social media and technology, which has so many cool things about it, it also offers a lot more stress around us that tends to be more, I've just got more things to do.
That's right. And everything's, and because you're out there and you're comparing yourself to everybody else, because everyone else looks like they're doing so much better than you. It's amazing. We all think that everyone else is doing so much better, but it's like if
we actually,
that's right, the collective are all kind of just struggling along and just working it out as they go.
Now, there's another aspect to feminine energy, and as you say, rightly say, Angela, it's feminine energy are in men and women, but because we have less time, by virtue of looking after, when I say less time, we are spread around family and care commitments, it's really important affiliate relationships, so how we connect in and support each other. That's something that I find is really big for women in business, because they can't do it alone, and working collaboratively adds two really cool things. One, there's the support element, so you feel you're not in it alone, and two, there's that space of, if I liken it to ripples, or people standing on the top of mountains lighting fires to show the next mountain, you know, spreading the word that way. And it helps, it just helps to get leverage in a way that you can't do by yourself. I know I certainly tried for a long time to try and do it by myself, and it didn't work.
And totally agreed. I've got two words for this year, and one is fun and the other one is collaboration or connection, because I think that's, you know, it's something that women do connection so well, but we're not doing connection as well as we should do.
Yeah, and the fun, it's interesting you say that, because the coffee I had with my girlfriend this morning, we were both talking about, when did we stop having
fun,
as much as fun as we used to do? Because we're talking about, well, often we like having fun with our children or fun with our husband, but they might not be, or partner, whoever, and we might not be, they might not be in the mood for it. But so we have to have fun in a space that might not be dependent on anyone else.
That's right.
But that's hard with structure and all the things going on, and, you know, all the commitments. But fun's so important.
I've just created some events called the Entrepreneur's Playdate, and it's specifically about taking women out of their business to have fun.
That's what we do. If I wasn't in Auckland, and this is, you know, explains my accent, I would be there.
I've actually had a couple of people ask me to bring it over to Auckland, so maybe we need to talk, because I'm aiming to actually move this through Australia, and yes, I've already had a few people ask me to bring it over, so we need to talk and get it set up over there.
Awesome, you. That sounds really cool, because women need to have more fun, I think. I think possibly the space of working in separate homes as opposed to in a collaborative shared market space, there's less time for joking. You know that, you know, when you're overseas and you're in markets and you see women who are wonderful traders, they have a lot of joking together.
That's right. And I have to say, that's what corporate does. When you've got a paid job or you go out to work with other people, you do get that connection. Now, you know, because there are some good sides, and some people work really well in corporate. Not everyone is designed to create their own business. Not everyone's as mad as us. But that's one of the good things that I remember about when I worked in corporate, is like the fun that we used to have, you know, and getting together and having drinks after work, or just doing things at work, or just, you know, some of the practical jokes we got up to is like... Yeah. Some of the bank branches I worked in.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. Another thing I find with many of my clients is because they don't have enough time to build their business in a way that's going to give them great joy while they're still managing a family, it's so important that they get help with not trading dollars for hours, mm-hmm. that they are sharing and claiming their full worth on the value they create for their clients, not their time.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. And that's a big one for women, you know, stepping into your feminine power and claiming your full worth.
Yeah. And yes, you're right. It can be scary. It really can be scary because all of a sudden you're going to step up and say, look, this is, you know, I've got something to offer you and this is what it's worth. And in the back of your head, you're going, oh, but is anyone going to pay me? No one's going to pay me.
And I have to charge that, and I'm not worth it, and all of those things.
And then all of a sudden, someone pops up and says, well, that's too expensive. You're like, yeah, I knew that. I knew it was too expensive.
I was speaking to a client this week about that, who was constantly oscillating between going back to corporate and doing jobs there and contracting in to her own business. So she has a pattern going back and forth and constantly in her own business putting her wares out and getting feedback that's too expensive. But really what was happening is that was a mirror of her own beliefs.
That's right. Yeah.
And so you know there is a whole lot of stuff around women, you know, claiming, and I certainly work with my clients around this, you know, getting over your money blocks also. It's not just about the surface stuff. It's about all the stuff underneath, the blocks getting in your way. And you'd see that in wellness as well.
That's right, totally, yeah.
Most people know what needs to happen. It's all the emotional beliefs
that go tied up. Yeah, that's right. And all the self-sabotage that keeps coming up. And it's like, yeah, it's unbelievable. Because I believe that most people understand what it's like to be healthy. Yes. And they could do it any day that they wanted to, but they're not, which means there's something stopping them from doing it. And if it's just an education, we'll fine, go learn. But there's something else.
It's way more than that.
That's right.
Who am I to step into a healthy body? And, you know, can health be easy? And all sorts of patterns that they've seen with their parents. And, yeah, it's just such a loaded.
That's right. And then you've got the medical side of things, which says, oh, we'll just take this pill. You know, the pill doesn't fix the problem, but, you know, you'll feel better for the time being. And, you know... Well, I'm not dead at the moment, so I'll just keep going. That's quite often. This is, well, look, I'm okay. I can just keep going. I'm not dead. It's like, well, you will be if you don't do something soon.
And women often are the last to put themselves first.
That's right. Because they'll spend money on their children and their business and their relationships, but putting money into themselves for some reason, you know, it's like, well, as you say, it's like because part of us wants to nurture everyone, but we're forgetting that if we don't nurture ourselves, we can't be the best version for anybody. We're actually gypping them because we're not giving anyone 100% because we can't give ourselves 100%.
Absolutely, and I reckon the best way there to think about it is if you actually want to be generous to other people, it's actually your responsibility to be generous to yourself.
That's correct.
And that's, so if you can't do it for yourself, you have to do it for yourself because it helps them.
That's right. So,
yeah.
I love this conversation, and we could probably talk all day, but we don't have all day. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Who is your celebrity crush and why?
Oh, I'm looking at my vision board here. Who's my celebrity crush? That is, the person who's standing out there is actually a man. It's kind of weird. Tony Robbins.
Ah. And
that's so cliche, so I don't want to give.
Why?
Who's the first guy that I read, when I was young, sort of 18 or 17 years old? My girlfriend gave me his book, Stepping Into Your Power, and it was the first time I had, here was this guy saying it's all about your beliefs and what's going on underneath. And I had been taught in such a way from my family that it was what you did and achievement and all the stuff. And yeah, he did inspire me. He does some crazy stuff and he's very successful. But I think what I like about him is underneath it, it's a deep love of humanity.
Yeah.
He was one of the first people, he is the person that has inspired so many people, and he does it because he loves people.
Yeah, and you do see how much he has influenced people when you go and watch other people, because it's like, they had a two-day event here, and there was lots of speakers, and Tony Robbins spoke on the first day, and he was the end of the first day. It was hit where 3 hours with him or something. But as you watched every other speaker, you could see that they had modelled themselves, because NLP is very much about modelling, and you could see how they'd modelled themselves on him. They weren't him, but because no one can be Tony Robbins, and I see him as a great showman. Actually, I loved watching him from how, being a speaker, I was watching him as like how he actually got the audience into state. And and everything around it, that I really love his person who did audio was unbelievable, because he said something and a song came on. Now, obviously that's scripted, but it was just like, it was split second from the moment he said a particular word, a particular song came up, and just the showmanship and all of that around everything he does.
Yes, and he's stepped into being big, so he doesn't feel shy about that. And I guess as someone who, it's been a journey for myself getting into public space, because I'm relatively shy, and public speaking events, I'm always full of admiration for someone who's so naturally comfortable on stage. So any of my crushes will be for anyone I see on stage that are just awesome, and are just so comfortable in that space. I also have a secret girl crush on one of yours over in Australia, Denise Duffield-Thomas.
Oh, yes, Denise, yes.
She's so cute, and she's just had a second baby, and I love how she makes it real.
Yes, I've had her on my podcast before. I'm part of her. Are you part of her community? I'm part of her community.
Part of her community. Yeah. She's a cool lady.
Yeah, she is, and she's actually very, very shy. She actually doesn't live too far from me. She's very, very shy. She's a very shy person. She's very genuine. Very straight up, but most people don't realise how shy she is, because what she puts out there, she's very confident in what she does. But yeah, and the thing I like about Denise, and I've been part of her community for a couple of years, is she's consistent, totally consistent. She's right on message, she knows her message, and she is 100% consistent, and she does the same thing over and over again. She doesn't do a whole pile of different things. She knows what works, and she just does it.
Yeah, she's good at that. So I like seeing people do it well, and women do it well in their own businesses, from home, and do that as they're being parents. I think that's really inspiring. It's really inspiring.
Well, how can our listeners find out more about what you do? Where's the best place for them to find you?
Absolutely. So go to my website, KimberlySumner.com. That's Kimberly L-Y. So KimberlySumner.com, and I'd encourage your listeners to grab a copy of my 5 secrets to easily fill their programs. If they're trainers, if they are service providers, if they are coaches who want to fill their programs and they want to do it in a heartfelt, feminine way. So they're tired of the hustle and they want to own their feminine power as they're doing business. Because the thing that I've found is if you don't do it in a way that your heart jumps out of bed in the morning for, if it doesn't make your heart sing, you don't want to do it.
Mm.
So that's why I teach people, and that's encourage your listeners, go and get those five secrets if you're a trainer, coach, or service provider. And also, if you just want to connect with me in a looser way, on Facebook at Kimberly Sumner Happiness Blind Spot, or on Twitter at Kimberly Coaches.
Right, well, we'll check you out. I'm going to go over and get those five secret steps.
Yeah, they're basically the five tenets for me of building a business in a feminine way.
Yeah.
You know, look, and so there's a few videos there, and it's all, you know, it's all delivered to your inbox. Easy peasy.
Well, I want to really thank you, Kimberly, for joining us today. And it was absolutely great to learn more about the feminine energy and how it's, you know, how we can actually embrace that and still be successful in business, that we don't really have to let go of all the self-care and the nurturing that actually, in essence, is actually essential for us if we want to be, you know, create what it is, a difference in the world. So I also want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And if you love this episode, or if you've got any questions for Kimberly, then pop over to the website www.angelacouncil.com and leave your comments below this post. If you love the episode and you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave me a 5-star rating, because I really love those 5-star ratings. And also leave me a review, because I'd really love to know how you love, if you like the podcast, the interviews, the discussions that we've been having. And until next week, when we'll be back again speaking more about being healthy, wealthy and wise in business, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.